See, let me explain, because I sit in the joint intelligence. No, chair. No, chair. Can I just make a point? Because I listen to people, ne? So, I sit in a joint intelligence standing committee, which sit at the same time as this committee. You won't see me, it's not publicly covered. That's number one. Honorable Van Damme said she's sick. When I'm not here, nobody stops the committee meeting because I'm not here. Committee meeting goes on, life goes on, work continues. The principle is, if you are sick, excuse yourself. Don't say we must stop. Life must stop because you are not here. Not when you even have members that can act on your behalf. I don't. But I don't demand members not to do things, not to do work because I'm not here. So, and I'm not being sensitive.
Che, I will not.
No.
No.
Let us take this candidate.
No.
Do our work.
No. I will not have Honorable Josie speak to me in this manner. We spoke as this committee that we said we will decide whether to proceed or not.
Chair,
I did not say the committee must stop because I was sick. We had a discussion beforehand where we said that because we started late, candidates are going to be compromised because we will be tied and they will be tied. So don't come here and say, I said we must stop because I am sick and I don't want to work. It was an agreement by with other people saying that we must put two people for tomorrow. So please, don't make it personal. Do not attack me personally. If you've got no arguments to make, don't make arguments, but don't come after me personally.
No, I didn't say anything. She's the one that said she's sick. No, there's nothing personal I said, by the way, except that. What else? You said you were sick, you want to go. When you raise it, what do? But you raised it, Fanda. Ah, you were talking on the mic.
Chair, can you assist us?
Yeah, but listen.
I mean,
yeah.
We'll respect your ruling, Chairperson. You have heard what you said. We'll respect your ruling. Please.
Honorable members.
Yeah, but
you see, when you say, can I assist?
Yeah, I'm saying you heard what we said. We're waiting for your ruling, Chairperson, and we'll respect your ruling.
Mr. Maimed.
Honorable Chair.
Firstly, I just want to apologize for letting you in. And there's this snap debate on the matter. At this point in time, I formally welcome you. And I would like you just to introduce yourselves to members. In terms of your education and experience vis-a-vis the position that you are applying for. There are things that are interesting, but there are many things that you can say that will be of interest to panel members regarding the SABC board. What will help going forward is to really, for panel members to limit the questions and also candidates to pick up on questions and give responses. The debate you had is not going to prejudice your candidates in one or another. I want to give you that assurance. Please go ahead, sir.
So thanks, Honorable Chair. I'm David Maimela. I come from the province of Mpumalanga. I've been in the public policy space for the past 20 years, 10 of which has been in formal employment in the provincial government in Gauteng, as well as being a researcher for a period of 7 years at Mapungubwe Institute and currently at the Competition Commission of South Africa. I consider myself a student of public policy and with special interest in education, youth development, foreign policy and international relations, as well as development and the broad area of political economy. That's in a nutshell who I am.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Can I take the hands of, yes, honorable team?
Mr. Maime, how are you?
I'm okay, honorable member.
Thanks. Two questions. The board of the SABC is ultimately accountable and responsible the shareholder for the performance and the affairs of the SABC. But more often, when the shareholder representative tries to apply this provision, the attentions are necessary, which suggests that the representative is interfering. I would appreciate if you can just try and talk to this particular aspect. And in your view, why do you think there are tensions sometimes when the shareholder representative tries to intervene in the affairs of the SABC as provided? The second one, which is the last one, it's the issue of the unfunded mandates, public mandates of the SABC. More often when there are losses, when the SABC reports losses at the end of the financial year, they always bring in this particular aspect as a contributing as one of the contributing factors. If appointed a board member, how do you see yourself assisting to deal with this particular issue?
Thanks, honorable member. I think that the first thing that we need to do is to make a clear distinction between interference and intervention. Those are two different concepts in my view, and I think that there are specific rules and regulations and provisions in the Broadcasting Act that make it clear how the relationship between the shareholder and the board should be like. And as a country that has sworn itself to the rule of law, it is important for every board member to observe that the relationship between the shareholder and the board has got to remain professional, has got to remain legal, has got to remain transparent and open. And we must accept that, just like it is the case all over the world, that there will be some healthy creative tension from time to time. But I think that when you say intervention, it could be a positive intervention, such as rescuing the SABC or the member exercising its oversight role, providing political leadership or this and the other. Intervention could be something else. Interference could be something else. It could be a negative phenomenon. It could mean that the shareholder is overstepping and the board has got to always stand its ground. And I think it is important that you really appoint and consider very carefully the people that you appoint to the board, so that you appoint people of high standing in terms of integrity and understanding of law and procedure. The second question, I think The bigger question is not necessarily funding comes somewhere in the middle or in the end. What is important to me is how do we reimagine public broadcasting, and in particular the SABC. One of the key drivers of change in society today is technology. And I think the SABC should begin to see itself as a digital internet platform that provides various services in various forms. Today, consumers of information consume it differently than in the past. They consume, the way they consume information, the way they process it, the way they distribute it further, and the way they access it is quite different than in the past. And if we begin to reimagine the SABC not just as a television and radio platform, but as an integrated digital internet services provider, we can actually leverage a lot from various products that may come out of those platforms, and you can draw a lot of revenue for the SABC. This could relate to various forms, such as public journalism, for instance. I mean, how do you, when a story breaks out on Facebook or Twitter, how do you leverage out of that? Because the first person who was there, I mean, the journalist is no longer the journalist as we know it. The technology has now empowered people. So I'm saying reimagine the SABC, reposition it as a platform, digital and an internet platform. And from there are a lot of spin-offs that you can have in terms of opportunities for revenue.
Thanks.
Thanks, Mr. Maimela, and thanks for waiting. I saw you've been waiting for a number of hours. I'm sorry you had to witness that exchange. It's the nature of politics. Some people, you know, like to perform for cameras and to trend on Twitter. But don't worry, my mind at least is fully focused on you, and I've read your CV, and I am here to give you a full chance to present yourself as a candidate. So I've looked at your CV. I mean, it's good to see a young intellectual, which is what you are, but we are looking for candidates for the SABC board, and you neither have the qualifications nor the experience that is required for one to be on the SABC board. So I need you to convince me why you should be on the SABC board, given that there are other candidates who have the experience, who have the qualifications, who have basically tick all the boxes, none of which you tick. So tell me why I should consider you as a candidate. What X factor do you bring? What do you bring that no other candidate brings? Why should we consider you despite not having those requirements in terms of the Broadcasting Act?
Thanks, Honorable Van Damme. I think you're absolutely right that I'm relatively young. I don't know about intellectual. thank you. And I enjoyed the exchange, by the way. I've seen a lot of it in National Assembly as well. You are absolutely right about me being young. So I also do think that...
No, don't get me wrong. Being young is not a disadvantage. I said I admired a young intellectual. Your youth is not something that I consider a weakness. It's you're not fulfilling the requirements.
Yes, I'm trying to respond to the question. Being young, therefore, logically means that I will have relatively less experience. So it goes without saying. So that's the point I wanted to make. So it shouldn't disqualify me, but rather I think the potential that I hold. But, I mean, if I were to explain to you the experience that I have, Having worked in the policy and governance branch of the Office of the Premier, I've been exposed to a lot of public policy making processes, decision making in the public policy space, and I know what governance is about. I am still learning a lot. I did say at the beginning that I'm a student of public policy. I don't consider the learning process to have a start and an end. It's continuous. So I think I am now working at the Competition Commission, and for almost a year I've been sitting at the EXCO level, which means that I receive all sorts of reports, including a governance report. And in that committee, basically, as you know, the Competition Commission is a regulatory, economic regulation organization. So it therefore means that one working in that space gets exposed to a lot of governance issues. But I do think that my work for 7 years at Mapungubwe Institute has also exposed me a lot to public policy, as I said, and as well as the consultancy work that you would do from time to time, which would expose you to both the private and the private sector, public and the private sector. So I do think that the experience I've gathered will stand me in good stead. The corporation is a public institution. It deals with public, it has to make public choices about serving the people of South Africa, and I think making public choices about serving the people of South Africa is all about public policy.
Right, so making public choices. So your background is in student politics, largely in ANC-aligned student bodies. So understanding that the SABC is a place where there should be no political interference. Given your history, and I'm making the assumption that your support of the ANC, do you not think that that could possibly compromise your decision making when it comes to issues that might involve the ANC?
Not at all. I mean, my CV does indicate that I actually write in journals and peer-reviewed journals. So in there, one of the requirements is that you must think critically. You know. So there's a distinction between being partisan and being a patriot for the development of this country, which I consider myself to be one. But I mean, let me give you a few examples. You know, in the Judicial Services Commission, the president of the EFF sits there, and immediately the perception would have been that he would be biased. But he acquitted himself very well, and he continues to. Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng, when he came in, was understood to be captured by the religion of Christianity. But today, you know, he has acquitted himself very well. And I mean, the list goes on and on. The point is that if you have a sense of what public service is all about, it does not matter your background, because your background actually, if at all it was in the service of the public, should actually stand you in good stead, not as it shouldn't discount your credentials. It should actually be catapulting you to even greater tasks. So for me, that is very important to make a clear distinction between the auditorial independence of the SABC, which is not only in the news area, by the way, it's just across the programming, the entire spectrum of programming. So insofar as editorial independence is concerned, my view is very simple. I do think that the SABC board should somehow be insulated in particular on making editorial or policy-related decisions in relation to the news. And so I think that function of deciding on editorial policies and news should somehow be separated from the board and perhaps consider an independent committee of independent South Africans, and that may require probably that you change the legislation or some regulation or by decision of the board, because it shouldn't be that the board is every time bogged down with the controversies that surround the news and forgets to focus on the strategic issues that are facing the SABC.
One last question. How do you know how editorial decisions are made at the SABC? How are they made and by whom?
There is a clear editorial policy that the SABC has for the news and for all the other programming, like I'm saying. The newsroom in particular would have the journalists, and it would have producers, it would have editors, it would have the chief editor, etc. Those are the people that make the decisions. To decide whether a story is newsworthy, what angle should be taken, what kind of questions to raise, and all of that. That is basically what happens in terms of process. But what I'm saying is that in the board, you've got to find a mechanism that insulates the board from the day-to-day intricacies of editorial decisions. Or policies that, or rather strategic decisions that have got to be taken at the level of the board in relation to editorial policies, specifically on the news. And I'm suggesting that one of the mechanisms possibly would be to consider beyond the ombuds that is there, would be to consider a structure that will have people from the field of journalism and other areas constituting themselves as a review committee for the editorial decisions of the SABC. And then in that sense, you will have some recourse on decisions that are taken in the newsroom about this or the other question in the news.
Thank you very much, Honorable Father.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Welcome, Mr. David Maime. Okay. I think having looked at your CV, I think you have been to National Youth Commission and have led to very key progressive strategic structures within the COSAS and ANC and so on, which is good. But then the country that does not value its young people does not deserve its future. What is lacking as youth vibrancy in the SABC? You know, because I think we must give it a vava voom of some sort. But linked to that is the issue of the digital migration, as it is very important to SABC. What will be your role in contributing to its speedy implementation? And then SABC had been bankrupt for some time, and what could be your proposals to end this bankruptcy? And what could be your role in ensuring that our community pay their TV licenses? Otherwise, no, looking to your CV as a young person, to this board, really, it's convincing. Thanks, Chair.
I think we must just do it. You know, the organizations that I have worked, over the years, we just can do organizations. They just do what they're supposed to do. If you set yourself a plan and particular timelines and milestones, you just execute. And I think we've got a lot of capability in the country to basically execute. I can tell you, I mean, we all of us cite the example of the 2010 World Cup when it comes to the crunch, we all you know, put our shoulders to the wheel and we deliver. You know, so there is that spirit, there is that commitment, there is that attitude and culture. We've got to cultivate it and deploy it to digital migration. This will be quite good because, I mean, it can open up more opportunities in terms of new types of jobs. It can open up opportunities in terms of more channels to be carried through, and so on. So it can have all other implications for the viewers as the customers. And then the bankruptcy of the SMEs. I mean, financial performance is one area of governance that is quite very critical. And you have to make sure that the organization optimizes its resources. And one of the things that you have to do from time to time is to evaluate organizational efficiencies and resource efficiency, whether the financial and the human and the technical resources that you have at your disposal are actually used optimally. That's where you need to start. So you need to find out what is the base, right? Because it could be that there are more resources that, it could be that there are some resources that are sitting somewhere that are not used optimally and could be deployed actually to assist the organization to operate more optimally. That's one issue at the level of operations and how it can yield a result in terms of financial performance. But I think most importantly is the idea that I punted earlier on. If you see the SABC, you can't, it's 2019 now, 21st century, you can't continue to see the SABC operating within the same model. Otherwise, its competitors are going to be ahead all the time. And you don't want that. You want to reimagine the SABC as a platform that can be put differently out there to the consumer. And I'm saying if you do that, you can tap into many, many sources of revenues, which some of them, as I'm sitting here, I may not know about. They might still be sources of revenue that are coming into the future, you know. So, but all I'm saying is that position it as a digital platform that provides internet services in the 21st century. And TV licenses, I do think that going forward, probably TV licenses may be de-emphasized if you take this approach that I'm suggesting. So I do think that people who buy TVs, it means that at least per year can afford that minimum amount. And you've got to enforce compliance. You've got to ensure that at the point of sale, there is that enforcement. If the point of sale, the enforcement is not there, then it makes it harder to even trace who is not paying and who is not complying. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Honorable Dlozi.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Starting with 3 minutes.
David, how are you? I was in SAFCO when you were the president of the students in South Africa. Now, I don't think that... let me firstly confirm. Am I right that you are at the moment on social media campaigning for ANC in the 2019 election?
Well, I do make posts that favor the ANC, yes, that's true.
Are you campaigning or not?
It's up to you and the reader to decide whether that's a campaign.
Okay, I'm going to read you this. Register to exercise your vote to check your status, sending your ID number to 32810. Vote ANC. I'm going to ask you again, and please give me a clear answer.
Sure.
Is this not a campaign for the ANC in 2019?
Well, it is.
The post is from the 27th of January.
It is.
So you are campaigning for the ANC to win elections in 2019. Am I right?
Sure.
All right, now, Earlier on, you referred to Mr. Malema in the Judicial Service Commission. The Judicial Service Commission is composed by members of Parliament. Agreed?
Agreed.
So in that example, shouldn't you be on this side if you want to be like Mr. Malema, not on the other side?
Can I ask you to list all your questions so that I respond?
No. This is much better in terms of time.
Oh, okay.
To keep the answers short.
Okay.
Because the question of bias has to be seen. Justice has to be seen. Fairness has to be seen. So I'll put it directly and hope you'll give me a direct answer again. Is it fair for us to take you from here to the broadcaster in the elections when you are actively campaigning for one party that must be covered across all programs to be in power? Will we be seen to be doing something fair to do that?
Yeah, you will be grossly unfair because as members of parliament you are enjoined by the constitution to protect every South African citizen's right to affiliation, to association, to freedom of expression. So constitutionally you are bound. You have an obligation actually to protect all citizens. What is important in governance is a declaration of interest, right? Because And when I say declaration of interest, I'm talking about all interests. That's why I made an example about the Chief Justice, that the assumption was that he was captured by a particular religion. And the assumption, and many other assumptions were made. But the point is that you've got to make a distinction.
I'm sorry, David. I'm not making an assumption about you with the ANC. It's true that you're campaigning for the ANC. Is it okay in this election to take you whilst you are campaigning for the ANC and put you in the board? Is that fair?
Well, I think it is fair because everybody else has got political choices. It is fair.
All right.
Yeah.
My final question. The ANC has a position on the media tribunal, which I'm sure you are well aware of, and its role as articulated in your resolutions in the ANC. I just want us to hear, since you have a critical mind, what's your view on this media tribunal? Or is it consistent with the ANC?
Well, what I said to you is what I said earlier on, I think should actually be sort of an alternative or a solution. You know, I do think that if there are concerns about editorial policy and editorial decisions, you firstly, insofar as the board is concerned, you've got to insulate it, protect it from being dragged into what could be perceived in the public as a political capture, you know, etc. And what is important,
let me help you so that you are clear, the media tribunal versus the self-regulation of the media in South Africa. What is your view on that? So the ANC says the media must be regulated and held accountable through a media tribunal. So that's what I'm asking about, just to give you a sense so you shoot straight.
Yeah.
What is your view on that, Chair?
Yeah.
I will give you a chance to respond. Honorable Ndlozi, everybody is indicated, that the time for the candidate. In the questions that have been raised, is there any one aspect by Honorable Ndlozi which you want to clarify, because I'm ready to go to another member now?
Yes, I think there are many ways to regulate the media, and I think the point is that the debate must not be feared. And if the proposal comes from any quarter about how to better regulate the media, it should be welcomed from any quarter. And I'm saying one of the options that you have is around editorial independence, particularly of the SABC, making sure that you strengthen that, and I've suggested how you can do that, one of the ways. And I do think that the concern, though, is that there is some abuses that happen, and you've got to attend to those abuses or the perception of abuse of power by the media. And, you know, there should be instances of recourse, the law must be clarified and all of that. So it should be fair for any citizen or any organization that feels aggrieved
about conduct of any institution, be it the media, parliament, political parties, government institutions, private sector. It should be fair that when institutions behave in a particular manner that violates or the perception is created that they violate rights of others, it should be fair that you put in a mechanism that can be transparent, can be legal, can be in line with the constitution. And one of the options are put out there, and South Africans must just debate it. If a majority of South Africans don't support the idea, then hard luck for the ANC.
Chair, thank you, Chair. Just two short questions. Evening, David. But let me, I can see you have within a short space of time, you have written and contributed some papers. My question is, looking at SABC today, especially specifically taking its other mandate of educating the society and promoting democracy, do you think the programs which SABC now carries are effective in educating our society, are they able to deal with the diversity of the country culturally, especially so that our people begin to know each other, and also does it help in bridging, in dealing especially with the question of race? What programs can you say you cite? Race, narrow nationalism, and elements of tribalism in society. So, because that's how I think, as a person who have written papers, do research, you can be of assistance in the SABC when you are there. It's not only there, we're not only looking at the question you have been a chair, you must be only a journalist, or just a lawyer, or just a CA. Not only that. Some of the elements you have here, especially with your age. And also, just one question, second question, Chair. What can you say, just not all of them, just few, what are the fundamental principles and interpretation of the Act? Because they are outlined there in Chapter 1. What, just mention few of them, which I think some of them relate to what I've asked you earlier. Chair, lastly, I think I'm very much, you know, impressed with the way, just to have a very honest and straightforward candidate, not being intimidated by affiliations or for your political background in future or in part. Rest assured that in that board, we want people, because there's no way in a society like South Africa we won't get people. Others can, they can hide it, that they belong to some parties. But in that board, we want a collective which is going to be able to make that board partisan in as far as patriotism of the country and of the people of South Africa, and defend the public interest there, and be a buffer to any attempts to try to use SABC for any political persuasion. Would you, when you are challenged with that, will you stand up and defend this act which you have outlined,
and the constitution itself.
Sure, sure, thanks. I do think the first distinction that I make is that the board's main task is to provide strategic oversight and strategic leadership to the corporation. And matters of programming and so on are editorial matters. And the board can only provide the leadership insofar as making sure that the corporation remains true to its founding principles and values and its public mandate. And you are right. One of the requirements is that the SABC must not only inform and entertain, but it must educate the nation. So the content and the quality thereof, of what comes out of the SABC, must be well thought of, well researched, well produced. And one of the things that I think the SABC should strengthen is to strike a very good relationship with the national innovation system of our country. Because the SABC reaches about 30 million South Africans almost every month, and transmitting that knowledge and popularizing it and making it reach so many people and so many South Africans becomes important. So the research centers of our country that are established by an act of parliament or by a university, or the universities themselves, that is why you would encourage the participation of academics, researchers, and intellectuals in programming, both on radio and TV, so that whatever research that comes out of the various schools and centers is actually transmitted. So the cultural richness of the country does not only refer to the 11 languages. It talks about the culture of education, identity, history, memory, and how we imagine and reimagine our society, and how we create a better society that is more inclusive. So if you have that diversity in the SABC, then you are better at articulating and transmitting a vision of non-racialism as espoused in the Constitution. So I do think that the cultural project is quite an important one. It's not only for the September period in the calendar of our country, but it's an ongoing kind of project. The principles of independence, fairness, and equality are some of the principles that are in the act. This thing of capture is quite very serious, and I guess you would understand why. And I'm saying, we must avoid capture of all sorts. You know, we shouldn't only say there's political capture. There could be other interests as well. Because as you know, society is constituted of interests. There's competing interests in society. And the overemphasis of political capture is based on what has been there before 1994, that a minister would appoint the board before 1994. That is not the case now. We've got better processes of appointing the board, and we've got better safeguards. But also recently, the problems that the SABC has been facing, one of the problems has been allegations or perceptions of political capture or political interference. And as I said, you've got to make a distinction between interference and an intervention. And I think you need to stand up. I rather resign than be accused, you know, because I do take my career serious beyond the SABC if I am selected. I want to do other things beyond my life in the SABC if I'm lucky. So I do care about how people perceive me, as a person who goes into a public institution and begins to serve narrow interests,
as opposed to serving the broader interest of the people of South Africa. And for me, that's what drives me. I don't want to be identified or defined as that person who cannot think, cannot be critical, cannot talk back, cannot understand that people are encroaching on the mandate of the SABC. I don't want that for myself, and especially for my son and my family. I don't want them to say, but your father is a lecky. I really don't want that for myself. I mean, it's serious indignity. And as I said to you, when you write peer-reviewed papers, you really write so that when the review comes back, you know, it's a respectable review, so that by the time you publish the final paper, the paper is accepted across the board as a product of quality work rather than partisan this or the other. In the end, it's not going to be ideology takes the country forward only. It's going to be many other things beyond just mere ideology. Thanks.
Thank you very much, honorable members. This was the last question. I would like to thank you very much for availing yourself today, and we will continue to give feedback as the process unfolds.
Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you.
Thanks.